and trusting in Him. And surely He brings us into pleasant places as we walk with Him, as we receive counsel from Him, and we go on in His way. It wasn't very long ago we took up the book of Judges in the Sunday school adult class in Stellarton. And in Judges 5 there it speaks of the highways being unoccupied. It speaks of the byways, which in my margin speak of crooked ways or crooked places. If you seek out a path for yourself without the help of the Lord, you'll end up on those byways. But if you go to the Lord and look for counsel and guidance in His Word, you'll recognize the pleasant places that He has placed you in. You'll recognize those boundaries that surround you. You'll recognize the path that He has laid out for you so that you can enjoy your time here, and that surely your cup may be full and running over, as we often sing in the children's meetings. Turn to the 119th Psalm. You know, we have a blessed portion that is ours while we're here in this world to be like the Lord Jesus when He was here. And He left an example that we should follow in His steps. Remember, He was here and without sin. Verse 1, it says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do not iniquity, they walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently." It is our responsibility as His own to walk in His ways and the example that He left for us. Dear ones, what path are you walking on? What direction are you headed in? Do you know? Have you asked Him for guidance and help in your life that you might be like Him? The 105th verse, I believe it is. Says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." This is our instruction manual. This is our guidance book from Him. Do you dig into it every day so that what you see is Christ? So that what you see is the pathway that He has marked out for you? Or do you design it yourself? We just sang this beautiful hymn. It says, "O fix our earnest gaze so wholly, Lord, on Thee, that with Thy beauty occupied, we elsewhere none may see." We elsewhere none may see. Oh, how He wants us to have our eyes fixed on Him. It should be the joy of our hearts to bring homage to Him, to bring glory to Him. That one who went to that cross of Calvary for you and I, that hung on that cross, bled and died. It was that verse that we often read in 1 Corinthians 10 and 31. It says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Is that the desire of your heart, dear ones, to bring glory and honor to Him? It seems like we can leave so many of those aspects of our Christian life out each day and be taken up with ourselves and the things of the world, but that our gaze would be wholly on Him. There's a verse that, if you turn to Isaiah chapter 35, and you could read this whole chapter and get much enjoyment out of it. I'm really not certain where to begin, but the verse I was thinking of is verse 8. But maybe we could start at verse 3. It says, "Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness." I enjoy this verse in so many different aspects. When I consider it, though, for our daily walk, he tells us in 1 Peter, "Be holy, for I am holy." And the path that he has put you on here is one of which we should walk in holiness. It is a highway. It shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men. We're strangers and pilgrims here, waiting to be called home to be with him. And oh, but just for a moment, we walk here in this world. It says, "Though fools shall not err therein or enter in." We were sitting in that reading meeting this morning, and Bernie asked that question, and I couldn't help but think of the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I thought of the path that the Lord had put them on in that day, and how they ended up in that fiery furnace. What a place that would be. Would you and I wake up this morning and say, "Oh, today I'm going to go and be in a fiery furnace"? I don't think so. But the Lord put them there. And you know, Nebuchadnezzar, or he allowed them to be there, I'm sorry. And Nebuchadnezzar, I'm sure he thought he had some kind of power in it. And when he looked, he didn't see three. He saw four. And he saw that one, the Son of God. And he walks with you and I every day by our side. And he loves us so much. And he wants us to keep us from any ounce, any bit of defilement that possibly could enter into our life. But we need to trust him. And we need to learn more about him. And it needs to be the desire of our heart, our whole heart, to not only please him, but to glorify him on the earth.
O thou hast redeemed of old and made us of thy grace
to pray.